It's 7:45. Good morning. I'm Anthony Murnell with KRWG News. Conservation groups say land bridges can help migrating wildlife by preventing collisions on highways and rail lines. The New Mexico News Connection's Mark Richardson reports.
Wildlife migrations are part of the American West's lore and history, but many of those centuries-old passages are now obstructed by the trappings of modern civilization. There's a new optimism that renewed cooperation between states and federal agencies can identify and preserve seasonal migration routes in New Mexico and other states. At a virtual forum, people from public, private, and native conservation groups discussed the need for joint programs and renewed funding. Tracy Stone Manning with the National Wildlife Federation says despite each group's unique perspective, she believes it's an objective worth pursuing.
It's going to take intense work together and the right level of funding for all involved to make sure that we pass along these remarkable landscapes to the future.
Participants cited a 2018 federal order on cooperation between federal and state officials as the key to opening blocked routes and constructing passageways to allow migrating species to bypass hazards like highways and rail lines. Part of the optimism is driven by the Biden administration's renewed interest in protecting wildlife and endangered species. Leslie Allison with the Santa Fe-based Western Landowners Alliance says getting buy-in from property owners is essential for any agreement.
And we've got to be able to place sufficient value on the things that we want to conserve, that it's economically feasible to conserve them.
Julie Thorstenson with the Native American Fish and Wildlife Society notes tribal interests, which have been excluded from past agreements, must be part of any future solution.
Tribes own or influence the management of nearly 140 million acres, including more than 730,000 acres of lakes and reservoirs, 10,000 miles of streams and rivers, and 18 million acres of forests. These lands provide habitat for more than 500 species listed as threatened or endangered.
The session was part of a series of forums sponsored by the Pew Charitable Trusts, the National Wildlife Federation, and the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership aimed at developing sustainable policies to preserve wildlife migrations. Support for this report was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. For New Mexico News Connection, I'm Mark Richardson.
Now to a local viewpoint. Some say the New Mexico legislature needs structural reform, including commentator Walt Rubel.
The New Mexico legislature is not a co-equal branch of government, and that's by design. The New Mexico governor's office is modern and up-to-date and operates much like governor's offices throughout the country. The last major update came in 2020 when a new cabinet-level department was added to coordinate services for young children. The New Mexico legislature is antiquated and out of date and is thoroughly unlike any other legislature in the country. I'm not sure when or if the last major update was, but it happened sometime before I came here in 2002. Those differences have created a power imbalance between the governor's office and the legislature that is most stark during times when a Democrat is serving as governor. There were some epic budget battles when Gary Johnson was governor, but Bill Richardson was able to bully legislators into passing a huge tax cut that benefited our state's wealthiest residents and Richardson's presidential aspirations, even though lawmakers knew it would come back to haunt them. They didn't want to be seen as going against the leader of their party. That dynamic played out again this session on the issue of the governor's public health order in response to the COVID-19 pandemic. Current rules give the legislature no role in that process. It's entirely at the governor's discretion as to how restrictive the rules will be and how long they'll be in place. Legislators had it within their power to change that this session, but chose not to. Once again, Democrats didn't want to be seen as going against the leader of their party. The legislature will never be on an equal footing with the governor's office until there's a change to its basic structure. As it is now, we have full-time professionals in one branch and part-time amateurs in the other. I don't use the word amateur derisively. Unlike legislatures in other states, our lawmakers receive no salary and have no staff other than somebody to help answer phone calls during the session. And so, many legislators have other jobs that they must also be attentive to. Meetings of the Senate Judiciary Committee were canceled this session, reportedly because Chairman Joseph Cervantes had important work with his private law firm that demanded his time. Beyond the unpaid part-time status of our legislature, its power is also diminished by being limited to 60-day and 30-day sessions. The brevity of that time period ensures that only a limited number of bills will get passed each session, and anything unique or creative is doomed to failure. The legislature has it within its power to change this system and make itself a legitimate co-equal branch, but refuses to do so. We came close to taking a tiny step in that direction this year. A joint resolution to nix the alternative 30-day and 60-day system made it through the House and onto the Senate calendar. Ironically, it died because there wasn't enough time in the session for it to be heard. With this week's commentary, I'm Walt Rubel.
Walt Rubel's opinions are his own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KRWG, public media, or NMSU.